Hart gecheckt wird euch präsentiert von Prechtl. Regional einkaufen und genießen. Deine Supermärkte in der Region Rosenheim.
Hart gecheckt. Der Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Präsentiert von der OVB Sportredaktion.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde. Es wird wieder hart gecheckt. Der Podcast der OVB Sportredaktion zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim geht wieder auf Sendung. Diesmal gibt's die 93. Ausgabe, aufgezeichnet am Dienstag, den 10. Februar 2026. Mein Name ist Thomas Neumeier. An meiner Seite mein Redakteurskollege Marco Aleksic. Servus, Marco.
Hi, servus.
In dieser Ausgabe blicken wir natürlich auf das letzte Wochenende der Star Bulls zurück. Es gab den 4:2 Auswärtserfolg bei den Eispiraten in Crimmitschau und die knappe 3:4 Niederlage in der Verlängerung gegen Spitzenreiter Krefeld. Wir schauen aufs kommende Wochenende der Star Bulls und beschäftigen uns mit einem Spieler, der erst im Laufe der Saison an die Mangfall gewechselt ist. Und genau deshalb wechseln wir ab jetzt auch die Sprache. Wir werden Englisch, aber sagen erstmal Finnisch. Tervetuloa, Teemu Pulkkinen.
Geht das? Danke.
Some few German words, you know?
Just a little bit, couple words.
Teemu, nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
We talked a little bit before. We have three periods. But before we start with the first period, when we have a guest, he's the first time here.
Yeah.
He should introduce himself in a few words, and we are ready to hear from you.
Okay, sure. So I'm 34 years old, from Finland, Vantaa. What else should I say? I'm a father of three kids, four this on the way. Trying to live a calm, relaxed life and enjoying to play hockey, and really excited to be here.
Okay. Then we start in the first period. It's the post-game talk. It gives a Bavarian word.
Okay.
That's called nachgekattelt.
Okay.
And we look back to the games, and before we talk about the last weekend's games, how are you personally when it comes to the post-game process?
Well,
did it take a long time?
Well, it's all good. I mean, the team is playing good hockey right now, and obviously it's always little ups and downs as a team and as an individual. But I mean, I see that we're taking steps on the right way, and we're currently in a good spot when you're looking forward for the playoffs. But we know it's still a couple more games, and we still have to improve and take the steps on the right direction before the real game starts.
Mm. How long does it take for you to process what happened in the game? Do you think a lot about it, or
just a normal one game? Like, it depends what's the final score. If you win or lose, it depends how you play as an individual and things like that. But when I was back in the days, when I was overseas in America, they teach me that you have to have a short memory in the hockey world. So never too high, never too low. So try to stay even if you play bad, even if you play good. So try to process the things quite easy and just move on. The next game usually comes quick.
Mm. Can you switch it off after the game and go to bed, or? Or does it? You have the scenes for your eyes.
Well, I think these days I can do it. I'm getting older and I have experience and I played many games. So for me, it's now easier than it was back in the days when I was younger. And I realized that I don't have that many more years in me. But you just have to enjoy it, and whatever happens on the ice, you just have to forget it and move on. And like I said, the next game is usually around the corner.
Mm.
And if you can't sleep, is there something you do to distract yourself and maybe think about something else?
I mean, there's not too much you can do but maybe try to watch a movie or something, you know. But yeah, there's not too much to do, actually. You just you eat and try to relax a little bit, and then try to get the hours in what you can get. But I've been usually pretty decent to get some sleep after the games, even if it was a good or bad game.
Okay. Werbung! Servus Marco, die Woche wird's international bei den Brechtl-Märkten. Es ist die asiatische Woche, viele Asia-Basics sind reduziert. Kokosmilch für 1,99, Reisnudeln, Reispapier, Gemüse, Sojasauce, Sesamöl. Dazu frische Sachen wie Pak Choi und Shiitake-Pilze.
Ja, aber Prechtl wäre nicht Prechtl ohne ein weiteres Highlight an der Theke. Die Woche gibt es Sashi-Schokobeef aus Finnland, Steakhüfte von Fersen, die mit Schokolade gefüttert wurden. Zart, intensiv, preislich bei 2,99 pro 100 Gramm. Und ich sag mal so, unsere Rosenheimer Spieler mit finnischen Wurzeln, die wissen ganz genau, warum das Sashi-Schoko so gut ist.
Das glaube ich auch. Außerdem gibt's was für die Fischliebhaber. Es ist Kreissaison, holt sich ein frisches Filet und dazu gibt's dann auch noch Obst im Obst- und Gemüsebereich, Mango und helle kernlose Trauben. Alles sauber sortiert, alles topfrisch in alle Brechtl-Märkte in Orbling, Braunerburg, Raubling und Feilenbach.
Übrigens, im Bad Aiblinger Prechtl gibt's an diesem Freitag die Frischfischaktion an der Frischtheke. Da gibt's besondere Auswahl an mediterranem Fisch und Meeresdelikatessen.
Also wieder lauter Highlights bei Prechtl. Da geht's mal gut.
Werbung Ende.
A good game was it on Friday, but you didn't make the journey to Krimichau. The Star Wars won 4-2. How did you follow the game?
Well, I didn't. I watched the highlights, and I obviously know what's going inside the group and how the team played. And it was a good game. And every time we win a game, it's good. Like sometimes you might play good, sometimes you don't play that good, but you still win. And like the most important thing everyone knows is to win a game, and it doesn't matter how you do it. And we were able to do it and got 3 points and then move on for the Sunday's game. So only thing what matters this point of the hockey season is getting the points in, and win is a win.
Marco is watching the game for us, for the newspapers. What was the key factor to win this game?
I think for me it was the strong start that laid the foundation for the win. I think between the first and the second goal there was only a minute.
Yeah.
So the two fast goals, and then in the second period the Star Bulls dropped off a little bit. Krimichau scored the equalizer right at the beginning of the second period. But I think Oscar Audio made a good job and kept his team in the game in the second period. And then the third goal by Charlie Sarreau was really technically fine goal.
Yeah.
And I think it was the key moment of the game.
Rosenheim is maybe the strongest team away in the DL2. Why is it so?
So what's the secret?
Tell us.
I don't actually know. The travel in this league is quite a long travels, and I was thinking that the home teams are strong here, but like surprisingly we've been really good on the road. I have no answer on that, but
maybe is it the system Jari Pasanen?
Well, I think we play the same system at home and on the way. I just don't have the answer on that. And you know, some years it goes like you're really strong at home and you struggle on the road, and let's say we've been strong on the road and been decent at home. So so far so good.
Yeah, but in the playoffs when you get the home game in game 7, then you have to be good at home.
So you're saying you almost want to start on the road.
Maybe you travel with a bus before the home game.
Yeah, so morning skate at home and jump in the bus and drive for 3 hours and get ready for the game.
Let's move to the home game.
Yeah.
We talked about it already after one of the Landshut games, but how is it for you playing in front of the fans in Rosenheim?
It's unreal. The fans are super, super loud, and pretty much all the home games I played, it's been sold out. And it's not even the home games, it's the away games too. The fans are traveling far, far away to watch us play. And I just noticed the fan base here in Germany. It's unbelievable. It comes football or ice hockey. It's people are supporting you very well, and like actually supporting the team. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, they stay with you. And I'm really happy to see this here in Germany. So once again, the Sunday game, great fans. It was a good game. Too bad we lost in overtime, but the support is always there.
You can compare. You played in USA or Canada. You played in Russia. You played in Finland, and now in Germany. What is the better support?
It's a little bit different. You know, the buildings are loud in those countries too, but like the fan base is here. You have like those ultra fans, yeah, jumping and dancing and singing the whole game as Central Europe, like a soccer football culture. So, yeah. It is the same here in hockey, and I like it. They just feel like they're cheering for the team and singing the whole game. So it's super nice here.
The opponent on Sunday, it's the team to beat this year. They are first in the league. Is it just another game for you, or does it feel special to play against Krefeld?
It was special. The way that like you said, it's the team to beat, and that was a good test for us. You know, we showed ourselves that even the season it's been so good so far. So you want to test yourself and see where you're at the moment. And we saw we can play equal with the best team in the league right now. And you know, we're confident. We got the confidence out of the game. We see we're a good team. We knew we were a good team, but that makes us more confident going into the playoffs. And you know, there's no 3-3 overtimes in the playoffs, so or shootouts. So you have to win the game in the 5-on-5 hockey, and we're confident our 5-on-5 hockey it's really good.
I was flashed about the intensity in the second period. Is this in the way like playoffs?
It was for sure. And now everyone knows it's getting warmer outside. The sun is coming out, and the grass is starting to grow. So it's the best time of the year to play hockey. And it felt a little bit like on a playoff hockey. Of course, we know that there's a one more step when the puck drops in the playoffs. But it definitely felt like that way.
At one point, Rosenheim took the lead in the game. You played a big role by taking away the goalie's ice. Can you walk us through this scene, maybe?
Yeah, it was a good shift. I think it was second period, so there are five guys stuck in their zone for a little long, and we were able to change and got the fresh legs on the ice, and we were able to keep the puck in the zone, and Goose made a great shot and scored a goal.
You took quite a lot of beats in front of the goal. How do you stay strong and push through these situations?
Oh, it's a part of the game. You grow up to getting the hits and the sticks and everything. So it's not like you don't even notice that. It's just it's just another day in the office. So you enjoy that, and we're happy. We're all happy to be there, and we're all happy to play these games, and we really enjoy it.
Then there came a quick exchange of goals. It was to make it 3-2. That was the moment when it seemed like the momentum switched to Rosenheim's side. Why couldn't you capitalize on it as a team?
It's hard. I think it's the hardest thing in the game of hockey is scoring goals. even sometimes you get chances, you play against good goalie, and I think the goalie played quite good, and we were not able to score. But it's hard to say one reason why you don't score. But usually, when two good teams are playing, the momentum of the game changes quite a bit. You might have a good 5 minutes, and then another team is having a good 10 minutes. So it's just part of the game. And we couldn't get more goals. We had some opportunities on a power play. Too bad we didn't score. But that's a game of hockey. And like I said, we're proud the way we played. And we just kind of move on. That game is over, and now we look forward.
You talked about the goalies. You tested some goalies now in a few months in the DL2. What do you think of them?
I think the league is really good. I think the goalies are really good. There's no easy nights. Everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to battle for the pucks. The scoring goals is the hardest thing in hockey, and everyone is trying to do that hard, and goalies are trying to catch your shot. So I'm happy to be here, but goalies are really good.
Is it fair to say that in the last period, in the final period, both teams mainly tried not to make a mistake?
If I look back, I can't remember the last period that good, but yeah, you might be right on that. Then when, let's say, there's 50 minute played already, game is tied, so maybe you just want to have play a little bit safety there, and don't do any mistakes and give the opponent easy chances. So yeah, maybe that was the story in the game, but I still felt we had a couple chances. They might have a couple chances too, but maybe it was slowed down a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, then we close the first period and go to the second, and it's all about you.
Yeah.
About Timo Brulkinen. We want to know something about you and your career. Maybe we can start with a small game.
Yeah,
It's called 60 Seconds.
Okay.
I'll start a sentence and you have to finish it.
Okay.
And let's see how many sentences how many answers we fit in the in this minute.
Perfect.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I can see the clock here. clock is ticking.
Marco is taking the clock also. Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
60 Sekunden. Präsentiert von Brechtl. Wo der Mensch zählt. Im Markt und im Team.
When I want to relax, I
just watch a movie and eat good food.
My favorite vacation spot is...
Oh, I would say maybe somewhere warm where you can play golf, let's say Spain.
Okay. As a kid, I wanted to become...
professional ice hockey player.
My childhood idol was...
Alexander Ovechkin.
The best player I've played with so far is...
Henrik Zetterberg.
In the locker room I sit next to...
Right now I have Goose and Charlie.
We usually talk about...
Hockey.
On game day, I eat...
I usually eat game days rice and chicken or pasta and chicken.
On a long road trip, I usually...
sleep.
Stop.
One question I had.
Should
I make
it? You can go. You can do that.
The most famous contact in my phone is...
Who would it be? I would say one hockey player. Who would I have? let's say Granlund. He's playing in the Olympics now, so that's a good one.
Yeah.
Dauert ein bisschen länger als 60 Sekunden. Lohnt sich aber. Bewirb dich jetzt und werde ein Teil vom Brechtl-Team. Hier geht's mir gut.
Okay, when you want to relax, you watch movies. What kind of movies?
Well, I have this, it's not on Netflix, but it's a Finnish version of that, like where you can just see different series and shows and movies. So I don't have any like different type like favorite ones, but okay. I just watch what I feel like. So it's not like I have a type what I usually watch.
Okay. And your favorite vacation spot where you can play golf? We talked about before. You have handicap 10.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And I play a lot of golf. Maybe I played last summer like 85 rounds, mostly in Finland though. Mm. But couple trips in different countries. I think at least one. I can't remember. Yeah, but yeah, I play golf, and when it's warm, it's even better. Yeah.
Oh, the next
in Finland, we don't have that warm.
next career, I like to be a golf professional.
I think the train went past me like long time ago, but I can play for fun.
Yeah, and as a kid, I wanted to become a hockey player. Ever hockey player? Not something else.
No, I think that was my dream.
Okay.
All the way growing up, and I was lucky. My dream came true. I've been playing professional hockey for many years, and
it's great.
Yeah.
The best player I've played with so far is Henrik Zetterberg.
Yeah.
What? Why? What kind of player was he for you?
Yeah, it would be fair to say Pavel Datsyuk too. Those two guys were at the time in Detroit. They were leading the group. They won the Stanley Cup, and Pavel actually won two cups. And yeah, they were the leaders of the team. And when I made the team as a young player, those were the guys you were watching. And you know they were great players, and they wanted pretty much everything. So yeah.
Okay. Childhood idol, Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And he plays and goes on.
He's still playing. He's still scoring goals. What do you want me to say about him? He's just unreal. Like I think everyone is saying the same thing. I think he's 40 years old. Yeah. He's still scoring goals in NHL, which is impressive.
You played in the NHL. Did you play against him?
I played against him. Yeah, in the national team and NHL. Yeah.
And what was the feeling? What were the emotions?
Oh, when the actual game is going on, you don't have the feelings because you just want to focus on your own thing. But when you look back, you can say it was nice to play against him. So at least you can say that you have played against him. So yeah.
So let's look back to Vanta and the little Teemu.
Yeah.
How did your hockey career start?
Yeah, I think I was 4 or 5 years old when I skated first time. I have a bigger brother. He's 1 year and 2 months older than me, and my parents put him in a hockey school, and so he skated a couple of years, and then you know it's the way how you usually start when your older brother is doing something.
You want to do the same.
You just want to do the same thing as he was doing. So that was easy step.
So would you say your older brother was the main influence into getting into hockey?
I would say so, but you know, I've been so young that I can remember my thinking process at the time, but I would say for sure when he was playing, I wanted to play too. So yeah, I would say so.
When you grew up with an older brother, we had the stories about Scott Faeser and when something breaking down in the wall. And what was it in the house of Pulkkinen?
Exactly.
Did you compete with each other, or did he tease you, or was he your protector?
It was exactly the same. we were fighting, and sometimes we were hitting each other, and we were wrestling, and you know. But I think that's pretty normal. What happens when you have a brother who's 1 year and 2 months older than you? You just wanna compete against him and you want to beat him in every possible way? Is it playing ice hockey or soccer or even wrestling? So yeah, it's been busy at home.
How many classes did you
play? I don't know. I can't remember. But mom has been a couple times. She's been angry, and but I think it's normal. It's part of the life. And
yeah. You spent almost your entire youth career playing with him at Jokerit. At the time, it probably felt normal. But do you realize how special that is?
Yeah, like you said, at the time it was normal because we were doing it every single year, and you just get used to everything what you do. But now when you look back, it's special. We were playing many years together, and we were able to win the championship in the juniors in Jokerit, and those are special moments and fun memories.
How was it in the young time? Home from school, back in the corner, and then getting the pucks and on the ice.
That's how it was. It was exactly like that. You just go to the school, you come back from the school, and then you had a practice. Or if you didn't have a practice, then we had like outside ice, really, really close to our home, so we just went to skate there and we played there for many hours. And come back when they shut down the lights from the ice. So it was long hours, but it was fun. And it's something I feel like the young guys don't do so much anymore. When we have all this phone and social media and everything like this, but at the time we didn't have anything. We had the PlayStation 1, which was the first console at the time, but yeah, we were playing everything outside, was it soccer or hockey or whatever during the summer. So we were just sprinting outside and enjoying the fresh air.
What a nice time to grow up.
Yeah, exactly. You always look back and it's fun memories.
Yeah, how did you develop your hard shot? Was it back then the same, or did you develop it later on?
It was starting from the young age, the same way. During winter, you wanted to skate, and I always, like I told, I was idolizing Ovechkin, who's still a great goal scorer and has a great shot. So I wanted to have a shot like him. And I was just shooting the pucks, and then you kind of find your style when you do that a lot. And then, you know, I was able to get my skills and my shot on a decent level. And that's been my strength throughout my career.
Mm-hmm. Was there any other sports, or was there only hockey?
We were playing football too.
Yeah.
Summertime was more football, and then hockey was the winter time. But I think it was somewhere around 10 or 11 or 12 when stopped playing football, and you just started focus on hockey, which sounds kind of stupid at the moment, because I feel like the best thing you can do is have a many different sports around you. Yeah. And then take a little skill from there, a little skill from there. So, but at the time it was like that, and it was what it was. But at the same time, when you're getting older as a hockey player, you start practicing at the summertime too.
Yeah.
So you don't have that much time to go for the football training and everything. So you kind of had to choose an easier way to get on the top, I feel like, is to play in hockey than play football.
Are you a forward in football too, and goal scorer?
I was playing forward, but I think I made the right decision of playing hockey. Getting to the top level in football, it's almost impossible, because there's so many young kids who's playing football, and so in Finland, like, the we're more of a hockey country than football, so I felt like it was easier in a hockey world in Finland.
Okay. How is it like in warm-ups? I think some of the guys playing football before the games here at the Sabres. Are you part of that too?
No, I haven't been actually a big fan of the football before the games. I usually try to focus on the game a little bit more, because in the football thing, like, players are different. Some players, they want to choke around a little bit to play football, and that's their way to get ready for the game. But I'm more the guy who wants to be a little bit quiet and listen a little bit of music and go for a little run and break a sweat and just be with my own thoughts a little bit. And that's what I do. I don't play the soccer, no. Mm-hmm.
What kind of music do you listen?
Every kind. It depends. Sometimes it's a Finnish music. Sometimes it's a rock and roll. Sometimes it's 80s. It depends. Oh. It depends about the day.
80s.
80s are good. Really good, yeah.
Great, great. These younger guys didn't understand this. back to your youth. When did you feel first time that hockey could really become something serious for you?
Well, it's hard to say an age, but I think when I made my the junior national teams,
yeah,
I was around 15, 16 when I played my first national team junior mm-hmm. games. Then you kind of realize, like, okay, I'm part of this group, the top number of players at the time, and then you realize, like, hey, if I keep working, I might have a chance to get there, be a professional. And then a couple years later, I made the Jokerit professional team and playing in the Liga. So then it was kind of your dream come true moment when you're playing as a professional. Yeah. But to play as an 18-year-old there, it's not really a career, but it's a good start. So yeah, I would say it was around 15, 16 when you kind of like, okay, I have a chance. Mm.
What was it like for you representing your country for the first time?
Oh, it was great. It was great. Good memories. I still have lots of friends from that time. And there's still so many good players who are still playing from those years. So just a great memories.
You talk about the national teams in the youth. You played in two U18 World Championships. The first ended with a semifinal loss against Russia.
Yeah, that was under 20.
Yeah,
under 22, under 18. Under 18, we got two bronze medals.
Yeah, again.
Yeah. So that first year it was in USA.
Yeah.
And then the second year it was in Belarus, Minsk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were able to get bronze medals from those two tournaments. But yeah, like you said, it was under the World Juniors under 20. We lost to Russia in the semifinal.
Yeah. But at the under 18, you played a huge role in the second bronze medal.
Yeah.
You scored three goals in the bronze medal game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good tournament.
I think it was really special for you. You were the best forward, top scorer.
Yeah.
And all-star team honor.
Yeah. It was good memories. It was a good year. But once again, we had so many good players in the team. I was lucky enough to be a part, like, the first power play and the first line to play with really good players. So it makes your job easier. And we played a good tournament. We lost the semifinal semifinal game. We lost to USA 5-0, and that was our first worst game of the tournament. But we were able to bounce back in the bronze medal game. But we had a good tournament here.
Yeah, during that time, you also made your first appearances in men's hockey with Jokerit. How was it like for you playing in front of the fans for the first time? I think as a young player, you're not used to it.
Yeah, you're not used to it. And then you're like nervous and you're excited. And it's a mix of all those feelings. And you think like, okay, I'm here. But then you realize like you're far away from here. You get a chance to play as a young player, but you're not ready to. You may be ready to play, but you're not ready to produce anything. So it's kind of like an eye-opening thing for you that you just notice like, okay, like I made it here, but it gives you a little bit of confidence to move on and keep working to improve your skills and everything. But I would say it was a mix of all different feelings.
So it's a very big difference between youth hockey and men's hockey.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I can't even say how it is these days because the hockey is changed so much during the years. At the time when I made the transition, it was the men's league was actually more men's league, which meant that it was older players at the time. It was not too many young players to making the step from juniors to the men's team. They usually took the step by playing maybe a little bit in the second league and then making the jump over the first league. But now it's more and more, the game is changed so much that it's getting younger, it's getting faster. So more and more younger players jumping in right away. Mm.
You played alongside with some legends, Antti-Nuusi Niemi.
Yes.
And Mikael Nylander.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you learn in this time from these guys?
Just the hard work, you know. It's easy to say now, but when I'm the veteran player, kinda. So you're trying to help the young players by teaching them and saying them what it takes. It takes hard work, and it takes everything around. Like, I mean, like, it's not just the hockey thing. It's the quality of food, the quality of sleep, and everything around you. If you really want to be a top player, you can be a good player, but you're not never gonna be a top player, like, if you don't follow those things. But yeah, they were teaching me the same things I try to teach the young players now, like, how do you have to work and live if you wanna reach your dreams.
I think so, because I talked with Jari, and he said to me, you are one of the first guys in the rink and maybe one of the last to go.
Yeah, that's my mindset these days. We have a really good young players in the team, and I want to lead by the example.
Yeah.
How they can improve their skills and their everyday life, and that's just a part of me. And I'm not gonna be the guy who's telling you to do this, but leading by example. And if someone is asking you questions, you wanna help, but not be the guy who's always telling what to do. It's not. I feel like it's not the right thing to do.
Yeah. You played under 20. Two world championships.
Yes.
And there's one game you played against Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
You scored four goals in this game.
Yeah, I scored that. That's we've been actually talking with the players here in Starbulls about this.
Yeah.
They saw the video. I scored actually four goals in the one period.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we were laughing so hard. I think it was after the last goal, it was two more seconds to go in the game. And we got a face-off from the middle. And we scored again. I scored my fifth goal in the one period. But it was 0.3 seconds after the buzzer. So I scored the goal, and the referees went to check it from the video.
Yeah.
And it was like 0.3 seconds too late. But it was... even the coaches were laughing at the time, because that was I had hard time to score that tournament.
Yeah,
I think that was my fourth game, and I didn't score a goal. Mm-hmm. So fourth game, and first two periods I didn't have a goal.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you get one goal and you score five in the last period. Too bad they didn't count the last one, but yeah, it was a. He was a funny story, and the Star Bulls players were laughing. They saw the video too, so they were laughing. But yeah, and the tournament was good.
Yeah,
we had a chance there. We lost to Sweden in the semifinals. We were up after two periods 2-0, but but we lost in a over. They tied the game 2-2, and we lost in a shootout.
Yeah,
I think they went to the final, and I think they won the tournament too. So
I think it was one of the. It was the only game you lost. Huh?
No, we lost actually. We lost bad our first game. We played we played in Edmonton. It was the tournament.
Oh yeah, it was against Canada. Always
against Canada.
A big loss.
Yeah, and you know, like I at the time I was playing in Liiga.
Yeah.
Which is the top league in Finland, but like the fan culture, it's totally different. And then you go to World Juniors to play in Edmonton.
Yeah.
The Rexall place. And you play the opening game against the home team, Canada, which is like 22,000 people yelling loud. And, I think it was opening face-off. They went to DDD, they dumped the puck in, and then you know what the coach told them, like, okay, like we dumped the puck in, and the first guy goes and hits hard, and our D went to get the puck and he was destroyed in a corner. 1 minute later they scored 1-0 and it was loud. 2 minutes later they scored 2-0.
Yeah.
1 minute later they scored 3-0 and our team didn't know what to do. We were panicking, and I think it was after 6-7 minutes it was 4-0.
Yeah. They were motivated 200%.
Yeah, and the building was loud.
Yeah.
So yeah, we end up losing the game 8-1. So
yeah.
We lost another game too. We didn't have a chance that game.
Okay, yeah. you played with Alexander Barkov in this time?
In that tournament, yeah. He was playing. He was 16. That was my last year. I was 20. I turned 20 that tournament because I'm born 2nd January.
Yeah.
So that tournament is under 20, but the tournament starts from 26th December. And it ends 5th of January.
Yeah.
So I turned from 19 to 20 during the tournament. And Barkov was 16 at the time. And yeah, he was a big part of our team.
Yeah, will you share the story about him? And what was your experience with him?
Good. Really good player. Humble. At the time, he was quiet, but yeah. When you're a young player, you don't want to be all around, and but great player, like we can see, like 2 Stanley Cups and won everything possible. So
as captain.
Yeah.
Then you were drafted into the NHL by the Detroit Red Wings. How was the draft day for you? What memories do you have?
Yeah, it was. It was special. I didn't like at the time because I had like during those 2 years, I had quite a bit injuries. So there was talks that I 6 months before that I'm going to go in the first round, and then I had injuries and everything like that. Then it was talks that that I'm not going to go first round, because usually if you go first round, the your agent company is going to fly you to the draft, and then you're going to be there. They know like, okay, you're going first or second round. You're going to be there for the interviews and everything. But they told me that they think it's not going to happen the first couple rounds. So I didn't go to the draft. I was just in Finland. And then I got a phone call and, drafted by Detroit. And, yeah.
It was position 111?
Yeah. I think so. I can't remember. But, 111 sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Yeah. It was right between 2 German players.
Okay.
110 was Tom Kühnhackl.
Okay.
And 112, Philipp Grubauer.
Oh, 2 Stanley Cup champions.
2 Stanley Cup champions.
They both.
Philipp Grubauer is from Rosenheim.
Okay, yeah. I saw his picture in the lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those two guys, they won Stanley Cups.
Yeah. And Grubby was...
Too bad the guy in the middle didn't want it.
Oh, no. But... Grubby was next to you, and he's from Rosenheim.
Yeah.
It's a little bit special for us.
Yeah. Super nice.
Yeah, was it clear right away for you to make the step to North America?
We were actually talking about this a little bit when we had a coffee there. I wasn't ready at the time. I played 3 more years in Finland. Yeah, I played 3 more full years in Finland, and then after my second year, I signed a contract with Detroit, but it was the last year, it was a lockout year, and I was like lots of players going to the AHL and things like that. So it was, for me, it was easier to stay in Finland in a team where I played 2 full seasons and then kind of to see what's going on with the NHL lockout. And yeah, I ended up staying in Finland, played that season in Jokerit. And when our season was over, my contract with Detroit kicked in, and I flew to Grand Rapids to finish the season in AHL and in the American League playoffs.
What did your family say about that? You're going to North America?
I mean, like, it's, you drafted, like, they're happy for you. Like, it's not like they're saying that you should stay here. It's your dream. Why you have practiced all your life, worked your whole life. They're supporting you and telling you good luck and things like that. We're going to come to visit you and things like that. But it's not like they're saying that, no, don't go, don't go. I was always, my parents were supporting me. They didn't give me any advice what to do as a hockey, as a real life. Yeah, obviously they tell me what to do, but not in the hockey world. Like they just drove me and my brother to the practice and support and, you know, things like that. But no hockey advices.
At 21, it was the big moment there. You make your debut for Detroit. The Red Wings. How emotional was it?
It was.
The rookie round before. Huh?
I think. Yeah, I can't remember if I did the rookie lap, but yeah, I remember the feeling when you're walking from the tunnel to the ice, and you notice like, okay, now it's gonna happen. I'm gonna play, and it's a good feeling. Too bad, like. I can say I played there, but like I didn't make a career. Too bad, but yeah, I remember the feeling when you're kind of like, okay, like this is why I worked so many years so hard, and it's a great feeling, and I remember the feeling still. They were playing the warm up song. It's called, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it was De Oro, 5 hours, the first song before the warm ups. And it was loud, and I was like, okay, this is it.
Yeah, at the time, the team had a strong Scandinavian core. Made the transition or fitting in easier for you at the time?
Yeah, it was lots of Swedish players. It was guys from Slovakia. I think it's someone from Czech, and then...
Tomáš Tatar?
Tatar was there, yeah. Slovakia, Jurko was there. I would say half of the team was from Europe. So it was kind of easy to take the step. But at the same time, like, you have to do your job. Like, you're a young player, and like, you don't want to do anything stupid. So I was kind of quiet and just following others and try to learn from them.
The following season, you scored your first goal in the NHL. Do you know against whom? And where is the puck right now?
I know where's the puck. I have the puck in my garage.
Ah.
It was super nice from Detroit. They made me actually... I scored the goal, and our trainer came to me, and he said, like, give me your stick. And I said, like, okay. I didn't think about it. I was super happy I scored a goal, and I gave him a stick. And then he gave me a new stick, and I finished the game, and then... 2-3 weeks later, he came with a big thing where it's, like, it's super big because obviously my stick is there and the puck is there in kind of like where it's like the frames, and then there's the glass.
Yeah.
So then
it feels like a present there.
It is a great present. It's in my garage. And and at the moment, I realized why he was asking my sticks. I didn't even I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I noticed, great. So I have the stick and I have the puck.
Yeah, in total, you scored 13 goals in 83 NHL games. how do you look back at the time in the best league of in the world?
Great memories. It was, of course, you're disappointed. You didn't get more than that, but that's life. I'm over it now. I'm older, 10 years older, but yeah, it was a good time. Maybe I would, with the different luck, with the different things, I would get a little bit more games, but I wouldn't make NHL career anyway, but I didn't reach the 100. It was a good time, but a little disappointed, but you know, you have to move on in your life, and I'm really happy where I'm right now.
And I think you have in your garage, maybe you have a silver medal from the World Championships.
I have the silver medal there with the jersey.
Yeah, okay. With
the jersey, so it's in the same in the frame too.
It was from the year 2016. Yes. The World Championships. You won every game except the final.
Yeah, that's how it goes usually. It's hard to win a tournament by winning every single game. So. Yeah. We beat Canada in the group stage, and then they beat us in the final.
Do you remember who scored the winning game winner in the final?
I was it Nugent Hopkins?
No.
No, but I remember it was 1-0 game. They scored the final score was 2-0, but they scored 59-59 empty net. The second, but it was pretty much one goal game.
The first one.
It was McDavid.
It was Connor McDavid.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. He was the one.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, I remember they had a really good team.
Yeah.
In 2018, you decided to leave North America. You had been playing in the AHL and were the top scorer in Chicago. Did you no longer believe in another NHL chance, or? What was the reason?
Yeah, kind of. You're kind of right with that. I always, when I played in the American League, I always had good numbers. But then the last year, I had a good numbers. I didn't get the chance to play one single game. So then you're like, you're thinking to ways, how can I make the NHL? So at the time, I was thinking that the AHL is not gonna make me to be an NHL player. I have to do something else. Maybe I go back to Europe, KHL, which was at the time a really good league. If I do really good in KHL, maybe the NHL team see me like a different way. He can do it in American League, he can do it in the KHL, maybe he can do it in the NHL. So that was my thinking process. I go to KHL, play one good year, and then come back to North America and hopefully in the NHL.
How big was the difference between NHL and KHL?
It's the comparing the leagues. It's super hard. It's different. You have a different travel. You have different everything. It's impossible to say at the time. At the time, the KHL was a stronger league than it's today. But yeah. Obviously, NHL is the best league in the world, so I don't know. It's hard to say what's the big differences, but yeah, obviously it's different. Mm-hmm.
You played for Dynamo Minsk, mm-hmm. Dynamo Moscow, Yaroslavl, and Chelyabinsk.
Yeah.
Where did you enjoy it most?
Maybe I would say... Minsk was a good place to play hockey. The fan base was unreal. It was new arena, 16,000 people. It was super loud fans. It was a good place to play. But to be honest, like all those places were like decent as to play hockey. Maybe I enjoyed the most the second year in the first year in Traktor. We had a really good team.
Yeah.
And we end up losing in the conference finals. So we had a good group of guys. We had a good players. I played myself. I played good hockey too. Scored lots of goals, so that was good to hear too.
What was life like in Russia?
I mean, as a hockey player, it's just a schedule. You practice, you eat, you fly, you play. It's just every day is the same. You don't have that much spare time. You just kind of in the circle, and you just follow the circle, and you have a lot of games. I think it's 68 games in that league, so it's quite a bit more than in here, Europe.
Mm. We talked about before, as journalists, we have to talk about a little bit. How did life change in Russia for you after the conflict came?
In my eyes, I didn't notice any difference, to be honest. Now I've been gone for 2 years there, so I don't know. But at least the first couple of years, I didn't notice any difference.
Mm. You decided to stay. Looking back, can you understand the criticism? They criticized this decision.
Of course. I've been saying I'm sorry about this, and I started this year in Finland, and I had a big media thing and everything, and I explained myself, and you know that what happened, it happened. I can't take it back, and I said I'm sorry and things like this. But you know, some people are okay with that, and some people are not. And you know, like I can't do anything. I just have to time to go, and you know, think about other things.
Then you, we talk about your first German experience, huh?
Yeah, in the 2024-25 season, you played in Germany for the first time in the first league with Schwenningen. How did you perceive the DEL and the in international comparison?
Yeah, it's the same as you ask about the KHL and NHL. It's super hard to say what league is the best, and like, you know, like you watch the Champions League. There's always teams even from Denmark beating teams from Finland, and like you know, like German teams are beating teams from Sweden, and then Swiss teams are beating teams from Czech, you know, like all the top leagues in Europe, I feel like they're really good, and like it, if you're playing in a top league in Europe, you're a really good hockey player. So it's not like that it's easy to say that this league is the best. Like you can say like this league pays the most. Yeah, it's a fact, but there's no fact that this league is the best, because they don't play that much against each other. But like in the Champions League, you can see that all the teams are playing pretty even against each other, even if you're from the smaller hockey country. So they're putting a good show against the bigger clubs. So mm-hmm. It's hard to say what country has the best league, but yeah, it's DEL was super nice, and I based on the facts, I think the German league has the most fans going to the games in Europe, mm-hmm. the big arenas and everything. So as a hockey player, you want to play in the big arenas with in front of a lot of people. So Germany is a great country to play hockey.
In the summer, you decided to play for your hometown team in the second league in Finland. Besides of all the trouble, how was it to come home? 12 years, a long journey you did.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I was saying it to people that it's unreal that you go to a practice and then you drive back home.
Yeah,
because you're not used to that. You've been gone so long time. So I was happy to do it a little bit. Spend time with my kids and take the kids to a daycare and drive to practice. So you're kind of like eye-opening moment. It's something you haven't done it for your whole life, because I've been playing outside of Finland the whole time my girls are growing up. So that was a nice part, and I'm still hoping to one day to play in Finland.
The rink is in Myyrmäki.
Yeah, they have.
Is this a training?
The another rink. Actually, the team is playing in Tikkurila, which is, it's kind of like there's two centrums in Vanta. So it's Tikkurila and Myyrmäki. So we were practicing in Myyrmäki because the Tikkurila arena was under construction.
Okay.
So and we live really close to Myyrmäki, which was super nice for me. I had the 5-minute drive to the rink.
There are rumors that you have the key from the rink.
Yeah, I do have the key, so it's nice. I can go to the gym, and I can take my kids summertime. They can go skating and everything. So yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, it sounds so good. Tikkola Myyrmäki.
Yeah, but it didn't last long, though. Things around the club became a bit unsettled. Did the opportunity to move to Rosenheim came at the right moment for you?
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, I enjoyed playing home and everything. But then my thinking process is maybe this is my last chance to go with all these things with the family. And like I said, like we were getting our fourth baby and everything. So when I got the phone call, I was thinking, okay, I'll do it for sure one more time. And this team is a good team. They have goal to win it all. Maybe move up for next year and things like this. You just don't want to go somewhere to play. I think I'm too old for that. But you want to go somewhere to play for win. Mm-hmm. It's the thing, like, now when you're getting older, you just want to be part of something. You just don't want to play to just play. I think I played enough to just play. So you want to play for something. And when I got the phone call, I was excited. And I was like, okay, let's do it at least one more time. And let's see after.
To be honest, did you know something about Rosenheim before?
Well, I checked everything when Jari called me. And I asked a couple of my friends. They said, like, it's an unreal spot. You should go. And it's nice to have a morning skate when the sun is coming to the rink on the ice and things like this. I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. And I saw it was a couple of Finnish players. And
you have good friends. You are good prepared.
Yeah. Like many, many Finnish players playing in this league.
Yeah.
And they said there's a couple spots you don't want to go. But Rosenheim is definitely one of the spots you want to go.
But I don't know so many Finnish players that knows that the sun going down.
Yeah, but the players know. They know. Yeah, but that's it's super nice. Yeah.
Yeah,
there are several Finnish connections here in Rosenheim. You mentioned Jari Pasanen. You also have Mika Tarvainen, Oskar Autio, Ville Jäveläinen. Who did you already know before?
Well, as a person, I didn't know anyone. I played against Ville because we are almost the same age. He's 1 year younger than me. So we played against each other in the juniors.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Hämeenlinna, which is like 1 hour away from my hometown. And we played many times against each other, but we never talked as a person. But it helps. Like, we know the mindset of the Finnish people. Like, I know how they're thinking and like why they're here and things like that. And it was easy to come here. And like I said, I talked to Jari on the phone many times before I signed the contract.
Mm. And now you're here. How do you like Rosenheim?
I really like it. It's like my friends told me, it's definitely one of the spots you want to play in this league. And I totally notice why.
Yeah.
I totally notice why. It's a great, great city. The team is taking care of you. You have the mountains. You have, when you have a day off, you can go to Salzburg. You can go to Munich. You can go to Innsbruck. It's, everything is so close. And, you know, living in a, Southern Germany, the weather is super nice. Now it's finally getting a little warmer and everything. So it's everything is just, I really enjoyed my experience here. And as a team too, we've been doing decent job, and people are super nice here. They help you if you need something, and just overall, it's been great couple months.
How do you spend your free time, your off days in Rosenheim?
Like I said, my family was here. We were traveling a little bit. We had days off. We went to see those cities that I mentioned, and then my parents came here a couple times. Now I've been by myself a little bit, but days off, I want to go to the rink, take care of my body, go for a walk, go downtown. We had a great Christmas market here during the Christmas time. Watch shows, movies, like I mentioned, to start the show what I tried to do after the games. The same, try to enjoy. Now I'm watching the Olympics. There's always something to do. We went to see Bayern Munich play Champions League. Like, things like this, you just don't do when you play at home. So that was my thought process too. Like, when I have a chance like this, I just have to take advantage of it.
When you want to hear a loud crowd, you have to watch 1860 Munich.
No.
We have differences.
It was pretty loud in the Champions League too. It was okay. 70,000 people, so it was not bad.
Don't have that in Giesing.
Is there a special place? Is there a special place in Rosenheim that you love apart from the rink?
Special place? Not really. Like the restaurant Amici, we go there, eat quite a bit as a lunch after practices like that. But then I like the river walk.
Yeah,
I just, after my nap, usually I just go for a walk. Like I said, now when the weather is getting better, it's nice to walk on the river. And then, you know, it's nothing like one special, but everything together, it's a special.
Okay. That's what we want to hear. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for this personal moment. We have so much to talk, but we have so less time. We're going to the third period, okay. Looking ahead. And next week the Star Wars play at home on Friday against the Lausitzer Füchse, followed by the game on Sunday against the bottom-placed Kaufbeuren. And I have to make the sentence, analysis, opinions and current photos can be found in the OVB newspapers and across all OVB media social kit channels. And now we have three topics to go from the future.
Mm-hmm.
The first big future topic is DL2. We are going to the playoffs.
Okay.
The Star Wars are now facing teams fighting for playoff spots and survivals. Lausitzer Füchse and Kaufbeuren are 6 points a must have. Now,
yeah, it's always too easy to say that.
There's no easy opponents. We know the sentences.
There's no easy games.
Yeah,
it's always like when you go and watch the standings, you're like, okay, like it's guaranteed 6 points. Someone saying this who doesn't know how hockey works. Or sports works, that you're okay, this is last team and this is number three, like it's easy 3 points.
Yeah.
It's not like that. You have to prepare, you have to do everything right, and then you have a good chance.
Yeah.
But there's nothing guaranteed. So yeah, we wanna have 6 points, but we have to be prepared for that.
Every game 100%.
Rosenheim often plays very well against teams against strong opponents. What needs to happen to dominate teams from the lower half?
It's the mindset. Like, you have to prepare, you have to be ready, and you have to be ready to play defense. Because against the stronger teams, the mindset is, you know, the human nature. You're just like, you're playing against the stronger teams. You're like, okay, now, like, good defense, things going to happen and we get a couple goals. But when you look at the standings and you play against the bottom of the standings team, you're like, okay, like, now I'm going to score a goal. Now I'm going to do this. It doesn't work like that. You have to have the same mindset that you play against the first team. Mm. You have to start playing good defense, and then the game is going to take over and you're going to get your chances.
Yeah.
But if you're like overthinking that we're going to have easy game, I'm going to score a goal, it's never going to happen. I seen it 100 times and it's always the same way.
Mm. Every game now brings you nearer to the playoffs. How strong do you see the Stars to the playoffs right now?
Strong. I think the team is really strong. Team is playing good defense, which is the key in the playoffs. But you never know. You never know. You do everything right. You might get bad luck and lose a game. You might have an injury or something. You just never know. But you have to prepare to do everything possible to win. And then you give yourself the best chance to win. And then it's up to the bigger things, who's going to win. But at least you can say, like, we did everything we could to win. And then if you don't win, then you can be proud what you did.
Yeah.
Now you're playing in a league where promotion is possible again. How do you experience that situation? Is it special for you?
Yeah, of course. That's what everyone wants to do, and I want to put my own skill and my own work on the table to try to help the team reach their goal, which is to win the league. And when you win the league, you move up. At least you have a chance. If everything else on the organization side is good and things like that, that I don't know anything about those. I just know the hockey side, and the hockey side is what I noticed. We have a chance, but it takes hard work, and for sure it takes luck too.
Second big future topic, we talk about the Olympics.
Yes.
Several players of the Finnish team was playing with you in the under 18 or under, mm-hmm. under 20. You said or talk about Mikael Granlund. Mm-hmm. It's the team captain, mm-hmm. now. What do you expect from Team Finland?
I expect them to play solid defense. When Finland play as a national team, it's always really good connection. You know, everyone knows their roles. You're playing in the fourth line, you know what you have to do. You play in the first line, first power play, you play third line, you know your job. And everybody is willing to do their job. It's not like single guys doing that. It's everyone doing what they're supposed to do. Yeah. Goalies are always really good in Finland. Systems, trainers, everything, they're part of the one group. So that makes it easier. But there's no guarantees. There's still better players in other teams. But like I said, like we talked about the DEL, you never know. You might get bad luck, good luck. But we definitely have some kind of chance.
Mm. How do you watch the Olympic Games? Is it do you watch the ice hockey games more as a fan, or do you analyze the games?
As a fan, there's so much analyzing on the own games, and here what we do in the Star Bulls, I just watch as a fan, and we talked with Ville and Oscar. We're gonna watch the game together tonight, and just as a fan.
Yes. Cheering and screaming.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the other Finnish sportsmen? There's no Matti Nykänen, no Hannu Manninen. No, Kirvis Nimi. What about the other winter sports?
Yeah, I don't know. We're so small country. Yeah. It's hard to get, and I feel like these days.
But there were so much good ski jumpers, and
I know. We don't have. We have Niskanen. He has a chance to get something done in cross country skiing, but yeah, we don't have any favorites at the moment, but. You know, like we're so small country that I feel like every parent right now is putting their kids to play hockey.
Yeah.
So we have hockey players, but we don't have a.
It's also great.
Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, it's too bad, but we can still watch it as a fans and hope for the best.
Yeah. And now the third big future topic, the private life. You talked about your fourth child is coming. When is the due date?
It's the next week. I'm gonna go home next week. I got a few days off. I'm lucky. I'm playing in a great team with the great leaders, coach, and the office understands the personal life, how important it's for a hockey player. So they let me go home for a couple of days, and I'm really excited to see my kids and you know, get the fourth baby and you know, be happy.
Is it the first live birth you experience?
No, my first daughter. I've been part of the Emily was born in USA.
Yeah,
and then we had twin daughters. They were born in Helsinki, and I was part of that too. And yeah, now it's gonna be four, and now it's gonna be boy.
You're proud, I think.
Yeah.
Now it's a boy.
Yeah.
But the three girls can play in the Olympics. Can they play hockey?
Yeah, they can play, but they can't play hockey. They can't play hockey
in 20 years.
I seen the hockey world. I seen everything around this. There, obviously, they can do what they want, but I'm not gonna push them for hockey. I gonna push them on the other side. You know, no. To be honest, like the most important, they're happy. But I don't see them as a hockey player.
Okay, it could be a Pulkkinen line, two wingers,
yeah,
one center.
Yeah. The oldest is center, and then the twin girls on the left and right wing. Actually, another one is left-handed, and another one is right-handed.
Oh, okay.
So it's a good setup.
Yeah. And the boy? Should he play hockey?
Yeah, the same goes with the boy. I'm not gonna be the father who's telling what to do. But yeah, for sure, I'm gonna push him on the hockey and give him the skates. But yeah, like I said, you never know, and he can do what he wants.
Thank you for this impressions of your personal life.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me here. It was a pleasure. It was super nice.
Okay, I hope you have fun.
Yeah, I did have fun. Yeah, thank you.
We did also. Yeah. And I switched to Germany for the last sentences.
Okay.
vielen herzlichen Dank, dass du bei uns warst bei Hart gecheckt. Dir und den Star Wars viel Erfolg fürs Wochenende und die restliche Saison. Good luck for the rest of the season, for the playoffs.
Danke.
And good luck for the birth.
Danke.
Euch vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Bis zum nächsten Mal bei Hart gecheckt oder live im Stadion. Wir machen aber noch einen kurzen Hinweis. Denn Normerical, der Torhüter, frühere Torhüter der Star Bulls, ist leider sehr schwer an Krebs erkrankt in Kanada zu Hause. Und die Star Bulls haben eine GoFundMe-Aktion gestartet. Und ja, auf den Kanälen der Star Bulls, beziehungsweise dann auch auf den Informationen der OVB-Heimatzeitungen gibt's mehr dazu. Unterstützt Normerical in diesem schwierigen Kampf. Und dann jetzt nochmal danke fürs Zuhören und wir sehen und hören uns. Servus, ciao.
Podcast schon vorbei? Dann gleich noch was einkaufen. Hart gecheckt wurde präsentiert von Brechtl Bad Aibling, Brandenburg, Raubling und Bad Fallenbach. Bis zum nächsten Einkauf und zum nächsten Podcast.